out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday, the 24th of April, 2018. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. And of course, as it's Tuesday, I'm joined by Nat Danelaw from Danelaw Radio. Nat, how are you doing today?
Oh, hello, Sven. It's good to be on radioarian.com. Yeah. Danelaw Radio. I haven't heard that name in quite some time, but from what I've heard, it was an exceptional podcast when it was still running.
It was. It was very good. It was highly entertaining, and I'm very pleased that we've got you here at Radio Arian now, just so that we can keep you on the air. A lot of people really do appreciate the fact that you're making these regular podcasts. You know, I get told this by people in the chat room and by comments everywhere that people look forward to these, to the Tuesday edition of the Daily Nationalist. Usually, I guess a lot of it must be because of the subjects that you pick, and you always pick really good subjects. And this week we've actually got a subject that I've picked, but it's based on something, on a concept that you came up with the other week. You talked about going back to basics, and we did an episode talking about the basics of nationalism. And since then, I've done a few episodes looking at breaking down these basic ideas. I looked at why white has to mean white, why we can't tolerate homosexuality, why we don't want usury, why we can't allow Jews into the movement, why we cannot have miscegenation, and I've been leaving this last one until now, because I'm very glad that I've actually got you on here to discuss it with me, and that's feminism, which is it's an important topic, isn't it?
It's very important topic.
Well, what you can break it down to is war between males and females, and there was no war before between us. We complemented one another, and this lie has been told to women that they've been oppressed all these years, and that they must fight back against the men, and that for some reason they must be equal to us, even though they're not physically equal to us, they're not mentally equal to us. They are created to do different things. They're created to produce children and rear children. And if you are producing children and you're looking after children, then you're not capable of finding your own food, and you're not capable of defending yourself. And the man does that while the woman produces the children and brings them up. And the man has to go out and work. And that's the natural balance of things. It's not an oppression of woman, is it? I mean, they had plenty of time to study at home, and they didn't have to work. I mean, it's just a complete lie that they've been told that they were oppressed, not having to work and having everything done for them. They're just miserable now.
I agree that society should ideally be structured towards replenishing the numbers of the people. No doubt about that. And likewise, I don't think it's a sustainable model to think that you can double the work size by implementing females into the workforce and at the same time neglecting the most crucial duty of reproduction on the female side. And thus, essentially, in 20 years, you know, not really having solved anything and just ending up with a more drastic problem, which is where we're standing now. We down prioritized reproduction and we prioritized production. And all of a sudden, we are shocked to realize that, oh my God, we have a growing, vastly growing elderly population with no one really to fend for them. So, I think something really drastic has to happen in terms of how we have structured society. Now, don't get me wrong. some women are probably not fit to have or whatever the issue might be. I'm not saying that we're going to take the chain and force women, you know, chain them up to the stove so they can, you know, make meals every day. I don't think by any means that's what we are saying. What we are saying is essentially that we should structure a society in such a way that it would be more appealing for women to reproduce and raise children. And as it is now, it's kind of hard to do that.
Definitely, definitely. You know, it's not just that we are not producing enough to look after the elderly, but the children that are being produced by us, they're not being brought up at home by their mother. They're being brought up by the state. And a lot of the time, the father isn't there because we've made divorce extremely easy for women to just say that they want a divorce. In years gone by, it was the father who was responsible for the children. And that encouraged women to actually stay with the father, because if they split from him and took the children, nobody was going to provide for them. Now the state will provide for them. So there is that encouragement there for them to split. Whereas if it was in the hands of the man, then that wouldn't happen. I mean, 85% of divorces are initiated by the female. They're not initiated by the male. And this all comes down to, we're supposed to be complementing one another, not fighting one another, not trying to replace one another. When you bring women into the workforce, you halve the amount of jobs that there are, which halves the wages. So now you have unemployed men, so they can't work to provide a sense of worth for themselves. They can't contribute to society. And on top of that, they haven't got a wife there, because the women have usually had a few divorces, or they don't bother to get married at all, or they're single mothers. So the men just don't have anything really to live for. So we have a massive suicide rate among men. We don't have a very high suicide rate among women, but it's massive among men. And it's all tied in with, this not looking at the different sexes as being different. There's this big drive to make everybody equal. And you cannot make females into men. They're not built like us. They have a third less body strength. And because of the way they are, they think emotionally rather than logically. They're not able to provide for themselves and to defend themselves. So if you put them in positions where they're having to provide for people, such as in directorships of corporations, or if you put them in a position where they're supposed to be defending people, such as putting them in positions as politicians, then they're not going to make a very good job of it, because that's they're not physically capable of doing those things in the first place. Men are the only ones who are capable of doing those things, and men built the civilization, maintained the civilization. And if you swap the people that maintained it and built it for people that never maintained a civilization, never built one before, then they are going to help with the destruction of it. And that's what we see happening when we see women in these political roles in particular.
Oh, well, you're definitely hit on, but there's a crucial perspective that is often once forgotten. It's very easy to say that egalitarianism alone is what caused the decline of Western civilization in the regards of the balance between the sexes. I also think there's one crucial thing we have to look at when we're looking at the male gender of our race and the, you know, racial hygiene of the white man. And that aspect is to understand that women are the harshest evaluators of nature. Women evaluate things very, very cynically. I'm sure a lot of you, the male listeners or whatever might be listening to this and be thinking, what is he talking about? No, women seem to have a strong intuition in terms of what is a reliable partner, what is good husband material. And I think a lot of the way in the rod of hyper individualism and the atomization of a nation and the complete embracement of hedonism has essentially left, you know, the majority of the male population in such a way where they are incapable of let's just say fulfill their husband based duties in the regard of being a reliable partner. I think a lot of men have become infantilized, and a lot of men look at their women, their wives, as motherly figures that mothers them. And from what I have read and come to understand is that a lot of women don't really find that very attractive in men when the men needs to be babied constantly. It's actually a major issue in the West as it is right now, how a lot of white men have become completely infantilized and incapable of existing in a proper, well-balanced symbiosis with their wife, which is why I think we see a lot of, you know, marriages crash and burn. Don't get me wrong. A lot of the women are, of course, you know, selfish whores and brainwashed by Marxism. However, I also think a lot of men nowadays are unbearable to be around. So I think this also has a really big part of it. So, of course, it all boils down to these unhealthy Jewish state factors. However, the character flaw is in men is one of the most crucial things in the misbalance between men and women, I think.
It is, you know, this is particularly about feminism, but it is equally on the men as well. But if you look at the reasons for that, it's because a lot of the time it's because the father isn't there. You know, we've got a generation, two, three generations now that were brought up without having their father there in the home. They didn't have a correct role model. I mean, they talk today about responsible role models and sports stars need to be responsible role models. The role model that every young boy had was their father. That was the role model. There was no need for sports stars, pop stars, or any of this nonsense. You know, the young lad watched the way that his father behaved, and that's how he learned to behave. That's just when you learn not to cry. You learn to keep your cool when everyone else around you is having hysterics, and you learn how to be a man and how to have self-discipline. These are things that women can't teach to men because they don't think in the same way. So it is down to both women and men, but it's like a vicious cycle. If you have women that are going out to work, they're not going to be bringing the children up. They're going to be brought up by the state, and they're not going to see the way that a father should behave. When man used to be the primary carer for the children, the woman would bring them up when they were very young. But as soon as they were old enough, they'd be learning the trades that the father did, or that the young boys would, and the young girls, they would be learning how to be mothers. And we aren't that different from how we were thousands of years ago. If you look at young girls today, they still want to play with prams. They want to dress dollies up, regardless of all the nonsense that the gender benders are pushing onto them, trying to stop girls from being interested in the color pink, and trying to stop girls being interested in prams and Barbie dolls. They want them to be interested in being firemen or being doctors and scientists. The kids, the little girls are not interested in dolls, which are doctors and scientists. Do you know what I mean? They just want to push prams around. They want to be little princesses. And the boys want to be bus drivers or soldiers or cowboys and Indians. They are no different. And this leftist generation is trying to force these ideals onto them and messing their heads up. So we can't really blame the young men for being messed up. And we can't really blame the women for being messed up. But we can point out the reasons for why that is, and why we shouldn't have women in the workforce. Men are not going to feel as if they are contributing unless they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, which is defending and protecting. And what we've done is we've said to the women, oh, you can defend and protect as well. We'll pretend that you can defend the country. We'll pretend that you can defend yourself. We'll pretend that you can provide by giving you the money from the state, by subsidizing you at work, and by lying to the population and claiming that men and women get paid differently, which they don't. It's down to women having time off for pregnancy and having time off for sickness. I've never yet been in a job where women have been paid differently to men. They're paid exactly the same rate.
Men being more willing to work overtime is also a very important thing to keep in mind.
Yeah, that's another thing worth pointing out. And you've also got the fact that all the people in prison are men as well. You know, if they come out with things like, when they're talking about race and they're saying, well, it must be racism because there's more blacks in prison. Well, 99% of the people in prison are white men. So is that against white men? Have we got a society that is against white men? Well, yes, we have, but they would never draw a parallel between the two. But women will get away with things. They never used to even have to be taken to court. It was the man's responsibility. If the woman misbehaved, it was the man that would get taken to court, because it would be seen as uncivilized to put a woman into prison. And she was also seen as not having anything to lose, so she might lie. The man could lose his testicles. He could be tortured. He had something to lose, but it was uncivilized to do anything to a woman, because they are the nurturers of the race. They're the ones that need protecting. You know, they can't have it both ways. We've created a world that is a complete fantasy world, and when women get to a certain age, you know, they get very bitter and spiteful and resentful because they haven't had children, they haven't got married, they haven't done the natural things, and they just end up hating men all the more and blaming men all the more for what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, that's really the thing. To bring something in, really, to put some light on, like, the gender constructivists, you know, they have done hundreds upon hundreds of studies regarding, you know, the, what could you call it, the early developmental interests of, you know, the children. And it has shown time and time again that children by the ages of 2 to 3, you know, as the first interest points when you put, you know, children of their different genders, boys and girls, into rooms with toys in it, the boys will normally be attracted to toys that are square and is rough looking, like tractors or trucks. Well, girls, of course, maintain a more nurturing interest in dolls, which is deeply engraved in our DNA. They've actually done the same with the apes, from what I remember, and not surprisingly, it showed that, you know, these primitive species, they likewise showcased an interest for things that would traditionally be considered either masculine or feminine, and it's just so deeply engraved in our biology, it's undeniable. Yeah,
this is why they have to, when they take women into universities for maths degrees and science degrees, they allow them to have an extra 15 minutes at the exams rather than the men do, because there is a disparity. Women aren't so good at subjects like engineering, science, mathematics. So they have to be
in the army.
Yeah, the same with the army. They're not physically capable of doing it. Things that they are good at doing, things like nursing. That's good. Women are good at nursing because they have a natural caring instinct for people that are harmed. And this is this child rearing instinct that's coming to the fore. And that should be encouraged. But to encourage them to be doing jobs that men do just for the sake of equality, how is that going to serve us? All it's going to do is lower the standards. It's going to mean that men are going to be resentful because they're going to deserve the position through merit, and the women are going to have got there purely because there's a quota that needs filling. You have to have a certain amount of women at the university, otherwise you're being sexist.
So it's trust a complete... me, in Scandinavia, in Scandinavia, we have plenty of experience with the quotas, diversity quotas and gender-based quotas. It's apparently very important that we try and push as many women as possible into, you know, what they would consider, high social status jobs. You know, it's funny how it's never, you know, forcing them into working in the sewers or, you know, installing quotas regarding garbage collecting or, you know, other pesky, dirty jobs like that.
And then you get exaggerated behavior in an unfamiliar role. You get women that have been put in roles as the police, and they'll be heavy-handed, they'll act more aggressively rather than assertively. because they've been put into a role that just doesn't come naturally to them. What we should be doing is what comes naturally to people. And nationalism is all about following natural law, and part of natural law is women have certain roles to fulfill. Men have certain roles to fulfill. And if you want to be the best person you can possibly be, then you want to be fulfilling that role that nature has fitted out for you. Feminism goes completely against that. Now, ethno-nationalism does speak about these subjects, but the civic nationalist types, especially Anne-Marie Waters, say, from For Britain, and Katie Hopkins, you know, they're always saying, well, why aren't the feminists talking about the Muslim rape gangs? Well, the feminists won't talk about the Muslim rape gangs because they just hate men, and white men are more important to be hated than the Muslim rape gangs. They seem to think that that feminists are there to speak up for women. It's not about speaking up for women. It's about hurting men. That's what feminism is about. It doesn't, you know, some people think that haven't looked into this. They think that, oh, it means like feminine. It means that they are full women. They behave very much in a female way, but they're not. They're trying to copy men, and it's not going to be fulfilling for them to do that. They will end up being old spinsters without any children. The happiest people that I see are grandmothers when they've got loads of grandchildren on their knee. You know, it's like catnip to them, grandchildren are. And these feminists that we have now, they are going to have nothing. They're going to be completely empty. And, you know, the women that I know that are in their 60s that don't have kids, you know, they are pretty bitter. They're not happy women. You know, the really happiest ones are the ones with huge families. So many of our people are going down this path. It's, you know, it saddens me to see it, especially when I remember being, when I was a kid at school, and this feminist stuff was just starting to come out, and I could see that it was nonsense then. And I thought, well, nobody's going to fall for this. And there was a young girl. She was a year or two younger than me, and she fell for it all. And I couldn't believe it. I was like, well, can you not see through all of this? This is nonsense. This is brainwashing. You know, I didn't know that it was called cultural Marxism at the time, but she just couldn't see it. And she fell in with an older girl. And by the time she was 17, she was pregnant. And she kicked the boyfriend out, and been a single mother ever since with a drink problem. You know, and this all came from listening to these feminists and pushing this idea that men were the problem. And you can have a child of your own and put everything right, and you don't need the man. And you need both. And she's completely unbalanced now. She's had like nervous breakdowns and all the rest of it. And it all comes from going against nature and falling for the lies that we've been told. As you said earlier, Nat, you know, it's not just the women, it's the men as well. What we need is traditional men and traditional women. We want men that aren't going out behaving like homosexuals and sleeping with as many partners as they possibly can. We want men that don't, you know, can resist all of that and have self-discipline. And then they become a partner that a woman will desire. And the women need to be chaste and not behave like slappers if they want to get themselves a decent man. It's no good complaining that you can't get a decent man if you're getting drunk and lashed up on a Saturday night and, you know, waking up in someone else's bed that you don't even remember their name. You know, this is quite a bad situation that we have got ourselves into. And a lot of it is about not understanding these roles that we should be fulfilling. I mean, it feels good to be chivalrous, I guess, is the word. And women like it when they see that, don't they?
Well, they most definitely do appreciate when a man is acting like a man. And just an earlier, just to come with an earlier remark to one of your earliest statements, denying nature is like denying gravity. You know, when you go into life denying all of the premises of nature, it's kind of like jumping off the roof of a building and saying that the gravity is not going to have any impact on your fall.
You're going to go splat. This is just it. We are living in a fantasy world. If we think that women have no effect on the workplace either, this is another thing that is just a complete nonsense. Men are so much more highly sexed than women. We get distracted by them. We see a good-looking woman, you know, we can't help but think about the good-looking woman. So if you end up filling the workplace up with women, men are just going to be distracted. And some of the men are going to be beta-type men, and the women are not going to want the attention from them. And other men are going to be alpha-type men, and they are going to want the attention from them. And the attention from one is going to be regarded as being a sex pest and harassing them. And attention from the other, they're going to encourage. And the one that gets encouraged, his girlfriend at home or wife at home is going to end up getting jealous. You see all these affairs that take place in the workplace now that never did. This strain that's put on the relationship between the man and the woman that are married by the woman going to work. And who is she serving when she's at work? She's serving her boss when she should be serving and loving her husband. Is it, you know, this is what the Bible says. Women were created to be a helpmate to the man. And that's the natural role that women are happy fulfilling. And that's the natural role that men are happy fulfilling, is protecting for them and providing for them. And every man's home is his castle. Everyone wants to be king. And, you know, if the man has his wife, he has his queen there, he has his children there, that's his tribe, and the woman looks after them, and everybody's happy. And you have a hierarchy. The man obeys God, the woman obeys the man, and then the children obey the woman. And the man will always advocate for the women and the children because of that, because he is the provider and the protector naturally. So he doesn't just advocate for himself. He doesn't just say, we want to do this for me. He thinks of the women and the children. But if you put the woman in that role, the woman will do what's best for women. You know, feminism has stopped women associating themselves with their men and with their race, and they associate now with all women. White women will associate themselves more with Negro women than with the men of their own race. And they will conspire together against the men of their own race. And if they're put into positions of power, they will do what they think is best for women. Not what is best for everyone, but what they think is best for women, and how they've been brainwashed into thinking what is best for women is to make them into surrogate men. Do you see where I'm coming from with this, Nat? You know, I mean, we naturally, as men, we protect and provide, and we do what we can for the weaker members of society. But the weaker members of society are women anyway. So they're not naturally going to be able to advocate for anybody else but themselves. And that's nature, isn't it?
That is nature. I mean, the whole purpose, and, you know, you said it best, your best yourself earlier, you know, the genders are supposed to complement one another. It's kind of like watching a perfectly operating organism. And, you know, if the organism works in, let's just say cells of your organism starts working in a contrary interest of, you know, the functionality of the organism, well, you know, rebellious cells is what they often call cancer.
You end up with a disease, and that's what feminism is. It's a social disease, and nationalism is the remedy. Nat, thank you very much for coming on today. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless, and hail victory.